The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. God's intentions from the day that He created man was to enlarge His family and have a lot of sons, and it will happen. God's will and purpose will come to pass. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, notice what it has to say. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Paul is telling us that there has to be a change if you enter the kingdom of God. Yes, he is telling us that we are to inherit the kingdom of God as well, and that takes place by being born again, this time as a spirit being, not a physical being. In verse 51, Paul continues, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed." Yes, we will be changed from the physical to the spiritual, like God and Jesus Christ. And Paul is speaking of the first resurrection, and those that he says will be changed, he's speaking of the saints, the living in Christ that will be living when Christ returns. Because that's when the first resurrection, and that's when the change is going to take place that Paul is speaking of. Yes, we will be changed from the physical to the spiritual like God and Christ. This is a mystery for this world and even Christianity, because they don't understand why you were born, where you go, or how to get there. In verse 52, Paul continues, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Speaking of the first resurrection here. Verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." This is where we become immortal, and this is when we become immortal. You aren't immortal now. You do not have an immortal soul. In Ezekiel 18, verse 4, and verse 20, notice what God has to say. "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die." God says the soul that sins shall die. Now verse 20. "The soul who sins shall die. The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." God is saying that you're going to reap what you sow. And he's saying that no one else can give you salvation except Jesus Christ, and you have to meet requirements before Christ will do that. Yes, unless you repent and turn to God whenever he calls you, whether in your first life or when you are resurrected in the second resurrection, you will die and never live again. You will burn to death in the lake of fire and be ashes under the feet of the righteous. In Malachi 4, beginning in verse 1, notice what it says. "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven." And God is speaking about the hell fire that is going to take place. And he says, "And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Eternal of Hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Eternal of Hosts." Yes, God says that you have a choice of two destinies. You can either be burned to death in the lake of fire and never to be resurrected, or you can inherit eternal life. God will give you the opportunity to choose your destiny. It will be eternal life or eternal death. Most everyone will choose life. Those that God calls in this life are having that opportunity now. Christ talked about being born again. Notice in John, the book of John, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with you.' Now, Nicodemus was probably ashamed and embarrassed to come to Christ in daylight and be seen by his party. But he came to God by night and he admitted, he says, "We know that you are the Christ." And notice in verse 3, Christ answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now here's something that you might want to think about. The kingdom of God is something that you can see. That is, if you are a spirit being. You can't see it being a physical being. Christ knew that man had been created for the very purpose of becoming like God the Father and Jesus Christ in mind, attitude, and character, so he could be born again of incorruptible seed, born right into the family or the kingdom of God. Christ was the one that created man, and he was the one that said, "Let us make man in our image, after or according to our likeness." Verse 4 in the book of John, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus knew that Christ was speaking of some kind of a real birth. Nicodemus understood Christ was speaking of being born again, born a second time, a second birth. He didn't understand that it was a spiritual birth. Neither do most people to this day. Christ knew he would be the first to be born of God. That is, Jesus Christ knew he himself would be the firstborn into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, the firstborn among many brethren, spirit-born son of God. Now, Christ was not the first person to receive the Holy Spirit or to be begotten by the Holy Spirit, but he was the first to be born again, born of God. When he was resurrected, he was born into the family of God, the firstborn of the sons of God, the firstborn among many brethren, as you can read in Romans 8 and verse 29, and which we have brought out many times on the Way It Ought to Be program. The firstborn among many brethren, meaning that there's going to be a lot more born after Christ was born into the family or the kingdom of God. In John 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Christ is saying that you're going to have to be born again if you enter the kingdom or the family of God. Christ lets us know that flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. You have to be born again, born of God. We are only begotten of God today when God gives you his Holy Spirit. But your destiny is to be born of God, just as Jesus Christ was, born right into the family of God. That's something that you need to understand, my friend. That is the destiny of mankind. Verse 6, Christ continues here, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Christ makes it very plain that he is speaking of a new birth, a change from the physical to the spiritual. Paul understood this truth or this mystery as well. Notice what he said in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body." He's speaking about when you die and when you are buried. "It is raised a spiritual body." Yes, when you're resurrected. And he's speaking of the first resurrection here. That is, if you have qualified, if you have repented and set out on the course of obeying God and Jesus Christ, you will be born into the family of God. He goes on here, he says, "There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit," speaking about Christ here, the one that gives you eternal life. "However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust." Yes, we have no trouble realizing that we're flesh and blood. We have no trouble realizing that we are not a spiritual being, don't we? And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. In other words, Paul is telling us that we will bear the image and the likeness of the heavenly man, Jesus Christ, when we're born into his family. When we realize and reach our destiny, we will be a spirit-born son into the family of God, very brothers of Jesus Christ, very sons of God the Father. And as we have borne the image of the man of the dust, yes, we look like Adam, don't we? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Yes, we will be like Christ in mind, attitude, and character, and be a spirit being. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Do you realize the change that Paul was speaking of and that Christ speaks of? There has to be a change. You have to be changed from flesh to spirit if you enter the kingdom of God. And there are qualifications that you have to meet to obtain this salvation. You don't earn salvation, but God will not give you salvation unless you meet his requirements for it. Verse 51, Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Speaking of the time that Christ returns, the time of the first resurrection, and he's speaking about those that are living in Christ, the saints that will be living at that time. He's also speaking about those that are dead in Christ. He continues here in verse 52. It says, In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Yes, raised as a spirit-born son into the family of God. And we shall be changed. Yes, speaking of those that living in Christ at that time, be changed from the physical to the spiritual. Verse 53, For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or grave, where is your victory? In other words, when you're made a spirit being, you will never die. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's only through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we inherit eternal life, or that we have salvation. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, my friends, there is a purpose for your life, and that is to become like God in mind, attitude, and character, so you can be born again, a spiritual birth right into the family of God, as a son of God, and as a brother of Jesus Christ. That is what salvation is all about, and the way is through and by Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your part is to repent of disobeying God's word, and that includes his commandments, even the fourth one, the Sabbath. 1 John 3:4 says sin is the transgression of the law. You have to be baptized for the remission of sin and receive the Holy Spirit. You have to begin the process of building the mind, the attitude, and the character of Jesus Christ. That is, if you want to be saved. And that process must continue as long as you live. If you would like to make your own study about the plan of salvation and your part in it, then we invite you to request our free booklets, Why Were You Born and What Do You Mean Born Again? Call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com, or you can log on to our website, www.thewayitoughttobe.org. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764.